Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
The thing called justice changes its shape depending on where you stand. Former Navy Admiral Aokiji, aka Kuzan. On this episode of Systematic Geekology, we will be getting political once again as we jump into the world of One Piece and examine the role and function of the world government. We're going to touch on some big topics. You can't talk about the world government in One Piece without getting like philosophical and political all at once. So what is the role of government? What are its uses and abuses? How the world government is set up as the biggest antagonist in One Piece. We could probably argue who's the biggest antagonist in One Piece. Is it going to be Blackbeard at the end? Is it going to be Rocks? Is it going to be the government? We will see.
Chopper.
Chopper. Ooh, cotton candy lover Chopper. Perhaps he'll get a respectable bounty by the end of the series. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I'd like to introduce our hosts. Today we have Christian, TJ, and Pang with us. And so by way of introduction, let's hear how you guys are doing today and what you're geeking out on.
Everyone, all at once.
I've been doing something not romance.
Really?
Whoa.
I know.
Character development.
Right? So I've been watching The Witch and the Beast. It's an anime on Crunchyroll. It's pretty all right. Taylor's not the biggest fan, and he was like, do we have to watch this right now? It didn't catch him. But it's like about witches and just this magical order is going to, you know, cause order, I guess. That's all.
You said it's called The Beast.
It's better than I can. I just started it, so I can't really like go into it. You know what I mean? But it's keeping my attention.
Okay. Fair enough.
You should watch Burn the Witch.
Burn the Witch.
That's better.
I want more of it.
Yeah. It's a Bleach spinoff.
Yeah, it's a Bleach spinoff.
That's not a spinoff.
When is Bleach coming back?
Soon.
What? I believe sometime this year. When the next core.
What's up, so? All right, thanks for sharing, Pang. What about you, TJ? You been in anything lately?
Oh, yeah, Blue Exorcist. Yeah, I just caught up. I thought Blue Exorcist was done. I was wrong, and now I've just locked myself into keeping up with another monthly manga.
You know, it's time to start picking up some new ones. Some of the old ones are coming to an end, I feel like. What about you, Christian?
I am about done with my first playthrough of Dragon's Dogma 2. I'm in the end game as we speak. And enjoying it.
Good stuff. I've been, I was telling Christian before we got on, I've been way, way deep into the Wheel of Time book series, which you don't know, if you don't know, it's a classic, like 14, like novel long series, took like 30 years to do. The author died before the end of it and his protege finished it. And I have little time to do anything else besides sleep and eat and work, I guess, and not read the book on my Kindle at work. That would never happen. Never. All right, so we're going to pick our poison here as we're getting political tonight, and I want everyone to identify a bad actor in politics. Who is a dirty, bad political player that you want to lift up as we get started?
We want to lift them up?
No. We can pray for them. I don't know how prayer works across fandom. Anyways, can you pray for your characters?
I'll go first. I'll choose someone from real life. I'll pick Constantius II, who I believe he was the son of Constantine the Great, and allowed Arianism to continue rising in the Roman Empire and caused a lot of problems along the way.
Mm-hmm. I see.
How could he?
I was going to say a real person, and now I want to say Aizen.
Bleach. Aizen's so good. Aizen has to be like one of the top tier like manga villain of all time.
Master manipulator.
Yeah, no doubt.
My hero.
What about you, Bang?
All I can think of is like Blacklist or Scandal, which is not obviously manga related, but I'm like, I don't really watch too much
political. Doesn't have to. Stuff.
Doesn't have to.
Yeah, I know, but that's all I can think of. I'm sure I've seen a lot of political animes. That's the first when you say like political, like corruption. I'm like, man, Olivia Pope.
Okay, there you go.
Don't want her as an enemy.
That's a fictional character. That counts. I was making a joke with Christian before, a bad actor in politics. Sorry, this is gonna trigger some people right off the bat here, but a bad actor in politics. One could say Ronald Reagan. And this isn't even a knock on the man's beliefs or the beliefs of his party. It's just he was an actor. He was in politics. I've never seen a Ronald Reagan film. I don't know if he was actually good or not.
Technically, Trump, he was that guy in Home Alone. He pointed in
he did a great job, though.
This is true.
He's like, it's that.
If only that was what he was most famous for.
We can bring a half of our audience base back by saying we're going to list a good actor and politics at the end. We can throw again Trump back in there at the end too. We're inclusive here at Systematic Ecology. We love everyone. Anyways, we're gonna continue on. So if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify podcast, please do give us a like and review. Engage with our content. Help us and our algorithms succeed. And as always, thanks to our supporters. Tonight, I'm going to lift up Russell Gentry for his support of our program. Thanks, Russell, for all you do. And if this series, primarily political, interests you, it's going to be a very interesting political year in our country. I tremble as we get closer to November. I tremble at the Civil War movie that's just come out. It's been very creepy to see those previews. It's a year to think about politics, and that's what we're doing this year at Systematic Ecology. So now that we've got all of that front matter out of the way, let's get to our main topic for today. The world, government, and One Piece. This is a topic that's going to take us like right into, I feel like, the heart of what politics means, what is a government. And so for me, as I like connect with this topic, this is like these questions of like politics and like government are like sneakily behind all of One Piece. You know, from the first chapters of One Piece, you sort of get set up like the Marines, the world government is like the big bad in this world. Like they're trying to capture our boy Monkey D. Luffy, King of the Pirates, or who will be King of the Pirates, excuse me. And as you go along in the series, you think more and more about the concept of freedom, right? And what it means to live a free life bound by nothing. You know, Luffy in his freedom, in his quest for freedom, no matter where he goes, ends up helping people. I think there's something to think about with that. But he doesn't want to be a hero. He doesn't want to be rewarded for it. He doesn't want to be held down. And it seems to me like the world government is just trying to, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They want to do good, they want to do right, and yet they'll do it at any cost. And so Luffy, our beloved protagonist, the warrior of liberation, seeks to bring freedom and joy to all people. He doesn't even seek it. He seeks whatever he wants, and it just happens. Wouldn't that be nice if that was how real life worked? With that said, we've got a very human topic before us today. All of us, I think, are invested in these questions. We all live with some form of government. We all long in some places in our hearts for freedom. And we all exist in community and are trying to figure out how to do life together. And as we all know, taxes suck, governments abuse power, and it's all really complicated. So before we get into describing the beast that is the complicated beast that is the world government in One Piece, let's just start with a lightning round real quick. What are our feelings, opinions on government in general? When you think government, What do you all think?
I hate the government.
TJ hates the government. He's an anarchist over here. That's fair.
Wow. I'm there for smaller government, you know, only getting big when it has to act. And I would prefer it not act as much.
That's fair. That's fair. I feel like government has the potential to do a lot of good, right? When humans like band together, like, you know, I hate paying taxes. Taxes suck. But like, I think that like, I like to think that some of my taxes do good. And then I would turn on the news and I'm like, oh no, never mind. They don't do good. I hit a pothole and I'm like, what are you doing, county government?
Yeah. I live in South Carolina, so I don't have to turn on the news to find out they aren't using my tax dollars right. I just have to drive literally anywhere.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy as you like sometimes cross state borders, like the roads just like instantly get better or worse.
I love driving to North Carolina. It's so nice.
Or when you go to like from South Carolina to Florida, as also a South Carolinian, our roads are atrocious. I hit a pothole today.
Yep. I didn't in North Carolina, so for whatever that's worth.
That's fine. Yeah.
So yeah, government's complicated. It interferes in our lives. I think it has a good purpose, but I think because it's human, right? Because humans are involved, it fails because we all fail more often than we would like to admit. So world government and One Piece. Does anyone want to take a stab at describing the world government and One Piece? What are we talking about here?
Looney Tunes oligarchy.
Looney Tunes oligarchy. I love that. Awesome.
Basically, they're the people in charge of like the mostly settled regions of the world that aren't independent in any way, shape, or form. They're commanded by these five elders who we learn along the way that's not actually true. There is this enigmatic figure, Imu, however the heck you say the name, that is the actual power behind everything. So we've kind of been reeling with what does that mean? Like, how much power do they actually have? Are they just a figurehead? Who knows? We're still figuring it out. Then just going on from there to them controlling the world through using the Marines. And also as well controlling the pirates through the warlords and how that kind of open rebellion that has kind of started later, way later on in the series has weakened their grasp over there. So they're having to work over here instead with the Marines pushing them forward, which has caused some of them to leave and some to rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see characters struggle with this the whole way through the series.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because we do, like, we know the Gorosei. I think they do call the shots until Imu intervenes and is like, hey, this is what you should be doing instead. I don't think they'll ever say that many words, but basically it's weird because the Marines are directly in line with the world government. It seems like it's instead of the path of secession being from like the Gorosei to like the Vice Gorosei, it's Gorosei, Grand Admiral.
Yep.
It's just odd.
Yeah. Somehow Shanks can walk up to Mary Joie.
Yeah, their whole government is just, and then there are the night, man, it gets more complicated the longer it goes on and less easy to understand because we don't know their real goal.
No, is we it, really don't.
We have no idea.
Right. So the world government is in One Piece, like world essentially functions as a United Nations, right? It's all of these little tiny island nations banded together, ruled by the top 20 nations. Who are ruled by the Gorosei, these five elders, who are secretly ruled behind the scenes by the Limu Imu. I so bad want that to the commercial to Oda's just messing with us at this point. Anyways.
As a crossover.
Right. But the One Piece crossover. There are characters who are in the Marines organization who are like the ones that like on the ground level, boots on the ground, trying to stop the pirates in this age of piracy, trying to enforce their notion of justice, and we see characters struggle with this all along. I mean, a third of the way through the series, you find out they're two thirds of the way through the series, you find out there's a secret like intergovernment organization called SWORD that's trying to like right some of the abuses of power in the government.
Yeah, it's we see it happen at like every level. Is any pirate with or any. Well, I guess pirate or marine with like some amount of power corrupts or they quit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the most interesting characters, the character I opened the quote with today, Kuzan, who was a former admiral, just about as high as you can go, who like halfway through the series at the time skip leaves the world government and becomes, of all things, you find out later, a pirate. I'm still trying to figure out what that guy is up to. I think that's one of the biggest mysteries is what's happening with that.
Yeah. Like, is he sword deployed?
Sure. You know?
And what does that say about Sword itself? How strong is Sword if Aokiji was working for Sword? He's working for Sword.
Yeah. Was Garp working for Sword? Also, where's Garp at? No one knows. Let's hope. He's somewhere beating an island to death. He's somewhere trolling Don Chenzhou. So that's the world government in a short little summary. I mean, it you have characters in the world government you love. I think about Garp. I think about Kuzan before he went rogue and we don't know what's happening. I think about Kobe, one of the first characters you meet in One Piece. Luffy pops out of that barrel and Kobe is there, and it's Luffy's dream to be king of the pirates. It's Kobe's dream to be a Marine officer. And you see like this fast friendship. And even the former King of the Pirates, right, being like this like weirdly rival friend relationship with Monkey D. Garp, Luffy's grandpa, one of the vice admirals in the Marines. And this concept of this theme in One Piece of what justice is and how the government enforces justice. You have some people in the Marine organization that like ascribe to what's called absolute justice, which is sort of like no holds barred, anything goes. As long as we get to the goal, we can burn everything down, literally. You have others who are in different places that really like think about the methods and the means involved, and is the journey worth the goal, so to speak.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting that like the Marines and the world government itself just takes up so much of the world. Like, and I'm sure it's easy for us to not get the full picture because, of course, we're going to see them all the time. They're, you know, at least partially antagonists of the series. But it just seems like the Marine are ever present, constant.
Yeah,
and there's everywhere. No regulation. Like for a real Navy, there's not like uniform regulations. Yeah, do whatever you want, man. Cut off your arm, replace it with a gun. That's cool.
There seems to be some regulation for like the lower ranks, but like once you hit like captain, like you're just doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
As long as it looks cool.
Yeah, that does reflect the real life military. Once you're like special ops, they can't really tell you what to do anymore. That's why all those dudes have like full length beards.
Yeah, it's like part of the look. You have to blend in.
Yeah.
So anything else we want to say about the world government One Piece before we move on?
I really want to know how they do collect taxes.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, I don't know. It's like, this feels like a pain question, but I want to know what their tax brackets are like.
I've thought about that. I thought about how do they get the money for the bounties to give out? You know what I mean? Because it's the world government who establishes the bounty amount. So could you imagine if someone actually did turn in Luffy? Like, do they even have that much berries on reserve?
Right. Like, why does the world government even exist at all? You know, like, because in the series, what do they do besides like bankroll the Navy, who supposedly keeps peace?
I'm always curious why there's not another military presence either. Or like some kind of like, I understand like how the Marines are on the sea, right? I get that. That makes sense. But I just like any kind of local police or local like authority with towns.
Yeah, but like Marines do land ops.
Yes, but I'm just saying there's nothing like in addition to the Marines. As you said earlier, it's just the Marines.
I think
some tiny kingdoms having their own forces, but.
Oh, yeah, like armies.
Yeah.
I think that's really just because it's all water.
Right.
Like, there's no Royal Army.
Yeah, most of these land masses aren't that big.
Yeah. Like, they would. The only place I would think they would have, like, a standing army, and they kind of do, is Marajoie.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not very much, like, local government. You know how we have, like, federal and state, and, like, even, like, some things are divided up into district and counties. There's, like, as you said, it's the Marines. it's weird to me, but
some place, I mean, there are some other nations, I mean, that have like kings and stuff, but like most of One Piece is Luffy going to these places and being like, oh, the world government's literally messing you up. How can I bounce them out of here?
Yeah, it's so funny. Luffy's not even like anti-government. They just keep doing things he doesn't like.
Right.
And they're anti him.
They're definitely anti him. He's too fun.
Very much so.
You can't have that much fun and be allowed to go free. Mm-hmm. What will the kids think?
It does, though. It speaks to like what a lot of people feel like our government does. You know, like restrict you, don't let you live free. They really do that, at least to Luffy. Yeah, they try.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to watch like Oda's treatment of the world government and like wonder about like his own critiques of politics behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So tyrannical government, not good. Freedom. Yeah,
I wonder how Japan's government is. I know they have an emperor, but I'm just thinking, like, not everyone has the same branches of government the U.S. has. I never really thought about
how figurehead.
Their stuff.
Yeah. He's like, it's like England.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a PM and an emperor.
Yeah. Because you just think, like, does his culture, like, you know, in reality, has it shaped any of his writing and viewpoint of the government?
Yeah, I wonder too, like Japan's history and like World War II and that whole like government takeover that happened and their imperialistic like expansion and then like post-war like rebuilding. I wonder if that history is like influenced his understanding of what government is and why it's bad.
I think it's got to, right? Mm-hmm. But no, he doesn't like the government and he thinks they dress silly.
They do dress silly.
They do. I want Garp to put the dog hat back on.
Where's the dog hat? Free Garp.
Free Garp. Someone took his dog hat.
I think his ship still has the dog head mast or thing, logo thing.
Icon. You know, I hope.
Yeah. So let's move it to just a really big, broad, general question. Do we need government?
Define need.
Can we do life without it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's the lesser of the two evils, because without order, there's going to be chaos.
Yeah, right.
Do you love systematic ecology as much as I do? Of course you do. So why don't you hop on over to the Systematic Ecology shop and get yourself some merch. We have clothing like hats, extra soft t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies. We even have glassware and mugs. One of my favorite coffee mugs that I use every morning is a coffee mug that has on it, share the faith, share the geek. Yeah, I get my geek on first thing every morning thinking of systematic ecology. And I know you need to hop over there and get you some merch, represent us out in the wild, out in the public, and let people know that you too like to share the faith and share the geek.
I say we need it. I wouldn't call it a necessary evil. I would call it unnecessary for some semblance of order, and I would never be full anarchy. Not even all anarchists are like, yeah, there's no law whatsoever. There, even some anarchists have an idea of there being a law of some sort. It's just like mutually agreed between people. But I think the government is as flawed a system as it is in any democracy whatsoever, or your monarchies or dictatorships, whatever, there's always going to be a flaw in there because people are people. There's no perfect system in place. It's still a good idea that there is a governing body, hopefully giving the needs of the people that's what they're looking out for would be the ideal.
Yeah, people suck. And I feel like if we didn't have government, it would just be like the purge every single day.
Ooh.
Yeah, people do suck.
Yeah, people do suck, honestly.
That's really the only reason we need a government.
People suck.
Does the government have an obligation to help people?
I would hope so.
If they want to stay in power, yes.
If they want my taxes, which they're going to get either way, yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yes. My ideal form of government is one with like a strong social support. So
I'm a communism type gal myself. No, just kidding.
Are you?
Just kidding.
That seems like a lie.
There's no way.
Control no everything.
Capitalist paying.
Uber capitalist.
need to throw up like the hammer and sickle filter for you.
Yeah, she actually, it's on her sleeve.
Yeah. I'm going to get the justice, what's it called, scale next tattoo.
Yeah. I mean, so if we didn't have any sort of like institution to keep us all in line, the world would go sideways probably fairly quickly. One of the most enduringly significant Western thinkers about government, John Locke, his theory of government was social contract. Like, people came together because they had needs bigger than what they could do alone, and that's how government like formed. On the other hand, you get Thomas Hobbes, who was like the book Leviathan, like swirling chaos. Like, we need to something to put the chaos down. We've got to do it however we can.
Yeah. Well, see, it's interesting. I think people are bad. I don't think a lot of people are driven to their actions because of the government or things that were caused by the government. Yeah. So if there was never one to begin with, I don't think it would be that bad. I can't prove that. But, you know, a couple hundred years of different systemic issues have caused people to act in certain ways.
Sure. Yeah.
There would be no crime because legally, nothing would be a crime anymore because there would be no government.
They would just be good old fashioned sin.
Good old fashioned murders.
You think they vote for the Gorosei, or how do they decide who gets to be a Gorosei? Is it just whoever gets that specific fruit, like one of the Gorosei fruit? They track him down?
That's whatever happened in the midst of the Void Century forever ago that made them rewrite history so that they would always be on top, because it seems like they're functionally immortal to some extent, given recent developments.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're immortal. I think that's, could the former user of the of Trafalgar laws, Ape Ape no Mi, have performed the immortality surgery on them? A theory. Probably. We'll see.
A theory. Rest in peace, Matt Pett. He's not dead. He just retired.
I guess the question I want to ask is, how do we handle freedom?
You let it ring.
Oh, yes.
Boo.
No hesitation.
Corny.
Well, like, this is so many of our like political like debates go around like, oh, I want to do this or that thing, but this or that thing ends up hurting someone else. How do you handle it? You know, are there good limits to freedom?
I think so. I think you shouldn't just be able to murder people.
Sure.
And, you know, steal their property. But, you know, property shouldn't exist anyway. But different things like there are reasonable limits that a government can place on its people. I'm just not a big fan of limitation. Government overreach.
Yeah. I mean, technically speaking, there's freedom to do anything. But the question is, do you have freedom from the responsibility of what you've done? And that's why laws are necessary. As you know, as much as it grates us sometimes that speed limits exist, chances are if they've posted that for that specific area, it's because they've found this is the safest that car is going to travel. And I'm going to challenge it every step of the way. But when I get pulled over, I don't get to say, no, you're in the wrong, because I am the one in the wrong.
Yeah. You gotta live with the consequences.
Yeah. Seatbelts are tyranny, is what we're saying.
Hey, if I brought this up with a certain demographic in my church, they would tell me that seatbelts are tyranny.
Yeah, that's always so funny to me. People, know
the whole thing,
who drove before seatbelts were legally required. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I think One Piece like works because around these themes, because Luffy is a shonen anime protagonist. Like, he's always going to do, like, he can be a pirate because he's always going to do the right thing.
Yeah. It'd be nice if Luffy was a little bit evil.
He's selfish. He's definitely selfish.
He'll eat the last piece of food.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right.
He's definitely evil. Selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite. Go ahead.
I want to see Luffy do something diabolical, but he won't because he's just a really kind person.
Yeah, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I want to see him do some real pirate stuff.
He didn't want to share the sword with Zoro, remember? He's like, nah, Zoro, get your own sword. That was pretty selfish of him.
Not from his point of view. I think from Luffy's point of view, Zoro was being selfish. Like, you have so many swords, dude. I can have this one.
Yeah. This leads me back to the One Piece at the end of the series. The One Piece better actually be some freaking real treasure. If we get to the One Piece and they're like, the treasure's the journey, I'm going to...
punch someone?
That's going to be the Articles of Federation. No, I really, really what I think is it's just going to be like the greatest sword. I really think that's going to be it.
Okay.
Because like we've gone through like Supreme Grade and the other ones. I think the One Piece is the one sword above them all.
What if they just opened it up and it was like one gun? One piece?
A one modern gun?
Yes.
Yeah. There's an AR-10 just in a chest on that. You know?
In a chest on that. Yeah. Whatever it is going to be funny. It's going to make us laugh.
I hope. Yeah. I do kind of hope that Oda just makes it like nothing. I want him to intentionally write it to be the most disappointing thing imaginable, because that would be such a funny way for the series to end.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love these more recent arcs of One Piece because it has gotten back to like the silly goofiness. Like Egghead is just funny all the time. Yes. In a way that like Wano like sort of lost track of, I think, because it was so long.
Yeah, and super serious for the most part until, you know, reveals about Devil Fruits.
Yeah. Adding Gear 5 was such a nice little shot of East Blue back into the series.
Was the boys in my youth group were dogging on Gear 5. They were like, oh, it's so dumb, it's the dumbest power up ever, and I'm like, you don't get it, you're teenagers.
True. They just don't get it.
Yep. Literal children.
Yeah, I will say though, like, it's not my favorite power up of all time, but it might be like third or fourth.
Yeah,
that's me. I don't know, I'm a sucker for Vasto Lord.
It might be the funnest power up of all time.
Yeah. The most fun.
Yeah. Dang it.
The most funnest.
The most funnest.
Funnester.
The most funnest.
Funnesterist.
Oh. What a fun grammar lesson we just went on. What's the correct way, Fang? Please.
Most fun.
What is the most? It's the most fun power up.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I do think, however, I think Goku had a ball when he went Super Saiyan 4, but you know, that's not the same. It definitely is Gear 5.
Maybe not the coolest, maybe not the most powerful. I will go with most fun.
It might be the most powerful, at least relative to, you know, the previous state. It is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't even think he's done everything he's going to do with it yet. I don't think he's unlocked everything.
No, he can do everything.
He'll experiment some more.
Like, you think you have it figured out, and he just does something like wildly out of pocket. It's just like, oh, okay, you can do that.
Yeah. And in a couple chapters, we're going to see him pull up a sign and switch it from Pirate Season to Gorosei Season.
And we can't wait. Okay, so we've talked around One Piece. We've talked around big government questions. Let's bring it back and get a little theological with it tonight. When I think about government in the Bible, one of the passages I always remember, one of the stories I always remember, go back way back to the Old Testament, is the period of the judges. So God's people come out of slavery in Egypt, right? So like bad government is already a part of like the narrative of the Bible, right? The Exodus experience. Out of Egypt is like the defining moment in the Old Testament. And then they wander in the wilderness because they don't trust God. And then God gives them judges, which are like these like weird, like half like pastor, half prophet, half like government leader people. And then they're like, nah, we see all these other kings around here. And that's what we want. We want to be like the other people. And God in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here's this request that they want to have a king. They want to have a formal government like that. And God literally rants. God stays ranting in the Old Testament in a good way. But he basically says, if you want a king, they will oppress you. Like, you cannot, like, I mean, there's like a long list. Like, he'll take your sons, he'll like take your animals, he'll take, you know, just describing like taxes and military conscription and all of that stuff. Like, you can't have government central control without sacrifice. And it becomes a faith issue in the logic of the Bible. Like, what are you putting your trust in above all else?
Right. I have a friend who firmly believes the best form of government we could have is a, I'm trying to remember exactly what he says, how he describes it. Catholic monarchy for the entire world. He just wants the Pope to be like the global king.
I feel like they tried that and it didn't work out.
Yeah. I think that was sort of a thing for a little while.
Yeah, I think they gave it like a couple hundred year shot. And anyways.
Yeah, that's just so funny to me. He still brings it up. He started saying it like 8 years ago. He is.
Yeah.
He's committed to the ideas.
Okay.
We love him.
He's got that. But I think it's so strange for Israel's history. You know, even though there were provisions in the law for if they did have a king, because God knew what was going to happen later on, they were supposed to be led by the priests. And the priests of Levi were supposed to tell them exactly what they were supposed to do, the laws they were supposed to follow, how to worship God correctly, how to offer sacrifices correctly. And yet time and time again, it just proves that they weren't up to the task, because Israel would fall back into sin. Every man would do what was right in his own eyes, because Israel had no king. And it keeps happening through the book of Judges. And it gets to this point in 1 Samuel, and they've had enough of it, because they're angry at their own failures and they see it as God's failure instead. And he's like, okay, I'll give you what you want. And he lists what you said. Yeah, the king's going to take every single one of these things. And that exactly happens multiple times over in 1 and 2 Samuel, in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Every one of these becomes a prophecy.
Right.
So it's real funny. It's like that whatever form of theocracy that you would call Israel at that point in time was good, but people ruined it.
Mm-hmm. Because people suck.
People suck.
Dang.
So what we're saying is we should eschew the U.S. government and commit ourselves entirely to our pastors.
I would even be hesitant to do that, because some of these pastors are crazy.
Yeah.
They've fallen like flies.
Some denominational wars. Like
flies.
Yeah.
To see who God favors the most first.
Yeah, that's actually what the whole church podcast is about. We're building up to the eventual interdenominational war.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out which side we're going to be on.
There will only be one church.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole church will be united.
Yeah, that's supposed to be in like the season finale with Francis Chan.
Yeah.
Sorry, Josh.
He's been our secret leader this whole time.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. So it's interesting. God gives the people what they want. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You go back and forth until Jesus enters the scene, right? And you see this language all throughout the Old Testament, but Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. Like, what kind of leader? What does that teach us about how we should lead, how we should rule, how we should have authority? And then also in that same passage in John 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, I've come to that you might have life and have it abundantly. And if that's not the goal of the whole creation thing, like that abundant life, then I don't know. I'm sad. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. It's like, God wants us to have good lives. I think that's when religion is at its like healthiest and best, it remembers that. In my personal pastoral opinion, if it's worth anything to anyone out there.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Would it be fair to say that the world government is actually a theocracy? If we, like, are we, what are we considering Emu?
Well, if the people knew about Emu, I would say yes. And if they worshipped him. But.
Oh, it doesn't have to be an early theocracy.
Actually, this is interesting because of the presence of God, devil fruits.
Yeah. Is there a Jesus Christ devil fruit?
Yeah, it's Luffy.
Well, Kuma has his Bible. It had to come from somewhere. Which island did Jesus die on?
This is true.
Where's Calvary
Laftel.
There?
It's coming. Laftel. The
God Valley.
The one piece is actually one of the vestiges.
What if the One Piece is salvation?
One Piece is Denota has been playing the biggest long con in history.
Yeah. One Piece is
what if they open it
bait and switch?
What if they open the chest on Laughtail and it's just like a gospel track?
That's Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin's greatest hits.
Oh man. I'm glad we have a good sense of humor.
No, it's gonna they're opening the chest and it's gonna say the two piece.
The two piece.
And his son is gonna write 2,000 more chapters of Two Piece.
It's gracious.
He doesn't have that long left to live.
That's why it's his son.
That's why. Oh, it's his son. Damn. I missed that part. One verse I'll leave us with as we, I think, round out for today. One of my favorite verses in scripture. I like want to write a paper on One Piece and freedom and like Christian freedom. I think there's a lot to say here, but Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So just thinking about government, thinking about freedom, thinking about justice, I think, you know, the bigger question for me is, the bigger pastoral question for me is, what are we letting lead us? You know, what are we letting influence us? How are we evaluating it? Something to keep in mind. I think it's a question, like, apart from even religion, that, like, One Piece wants to think about. Like, what is good government? What does it mean to live in society and do it well? And what does justice look like? So, some things to think about. In the One Piece world. Any final thoughts we have on government and One Piece before we wrap up today?
I'm good.
Bring the dog hat back.
Yes, bring the dog hat back. Free guard.
Publish the tax brackets.
Repeal whichever amendment got the income tax in there. Mm.
Down with the Celestial Dragons. We didn't even talk about the Celestial Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Are they part of the world government or are they just like the egg of the world? Like, what are they? We don't get a lot on what they're actually doing other than living in Marajois and oppressing people.
And oppressing people. That's like pretty much their shtick.
Yeah. Like they are above the law.
They're like a nobility class.
Yeah. Extremely corrupt.
Extreme. Well,
that was really funny that we just didn't mention them at all.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, they're not important, so they're it's not. Fitting.
Yeah. Bunch of punks.
Punks. Anyways, as we are wrapping up today, we started earlier with naming bad political actors. What about positive political actors? Any positive political actors you can think of?
I'm really trying. I even looked it up to like see if there were any politicians who were good actors and I just didn't. Like, couldn't think about it. I'm inclined to say Richard Petty because he was in a couple movies and is a NASCAR legend.
Okay.
And was the candidate for Secretary of State for North Carolina a little while ago. Yeah.
Terminator.
Yeah.
He was not a good politician. But I guess that's
not the question. Oh, yes, he was.
That wasn't the question.
He's about the only good conservative left.
He was a terrible governor.
He'll be back.
I don't know. Have you seen the man's gains?
He's always had the gains. It's crazy.
If it weren't for outdated anti-immigrant laws, we could elect him president.
Yeah. I would say Zelensky, though. The current president of the Ukraine.
Good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's really funny. He is a good actor. If you haven't seen him acting, he's got it. He's built for it. I actually think he's a good president because he's acting as if he was a good president.
Yeah. I mean, no, seriously, like I think part of what a good leader does is like puts on the show.
Yeah. There are some, you should all look up the list of actor politicians because some of these are really funny. Jerry Springer was almost elected to the House of Representatives.
Oh, that would have been incredible and very fitting.
Only if he gave everyone Jerry beats.
That's basically what the House of Representatives has devolved into. So
yeah,
there's that.
George Takei.
It's crazy. George, goodness gracious. I'll give an actual answer with a possible asterisk
by the end. Major General Smedley Butler. There is an alleged plot by a bunch of businessmen in the 30s to overthrow the U.S. government. And he was the whistleblower who said this is happening. Now, there's not enough proof that it did happen. But if that did happen, I would put him as a very good actor in that he told them, yeah, I'm going to do this. Then 2 seconds later, went to Congress, said, hey, these guys are planning behind your back. You might want to do something about it. If that is true.
Yeah. Makes sense. I got to throw our boy Reagan back out there again. You know, why not?
Why not? Actually, he was watching a Ronald Reagan film while we were recording. He had to get his research in.
This is true. Always got to do the research. Do we think we've made it through this episode without people being able to place our host on a political spectrum?
No.
I mean, they know I'm a communist now, so.
No.
She bleeds red, but not red, white, and blue like she should.
Red and yellow.
She crafts every cake with a hammer and sickle, forging into fire.
She was real quiet when we were talking about Zelensky.
Yeah. Yeah. Pangalinsky.
Stupid.
Pangalinsky.
Soviet spy.
We're on to you.
That is not the right government that we want. Anyways, thanks again, everyone, for listening. Thanks to our host. Thanks to Russell Gentry for supporting our program. And
I love you, Russell.
If you want to continue thinking about politics and fandoms and faith, we're going to do this primarily political series all year. And so the link will be in the description to more of those episodes. It's just a fun intersection of things we all love and things we all commiserate about. So 2024, y'all, get ready for November. And with that, as always, I want you all to remember that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom, a priest.
If you'd like to support our show, please consider joining our Patreon, where you get live access to our YouTube exclusives, including our comic book catch-up, Manga Mustard, Drinks with Tejas, and our companion series that we do each year with our annual theme. You can also get exclusive merch, including t-shirts, handbags, a coffee mug, and a long sleeve shirt. We also have available bonus extra questions at the end of most of our podcast episodes. You get access to exclusive Discord channels, discounts on our store, access to any future online D&D campaigns. You get to vote on topics for some of our episodes. You can easily access all of the Patreon content right through Spotify now. So super easy. Go to our Spotify page at the top. It's going to say exclusive content for subscribers. If you're a patron, hit that button. You get all of our bonus content right there on Spotify, right with your regular feed. And of course, you get the satisfaction of knowing you helped a podcast in need. Our overhead includes editing software, marketing equipment, recording software, and a lot more. And there's a lot that goes into keeping the lights on here. And we really appreciate all of our patron subscribers for helping this show happen.
Hey friends, this is your pal, Will Rose, and I have some exciting news. Systematic Geekology will return to Theology Beer Camp this year, October 17th through the 19th in Denver, Colorado. And we hope that you can join us. We are part of Theology Beer Camp in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at my home church in my hometown. And that year, Theology Beer Camp was called the God Pods. And then we were in Missouri, a part of the Geek Stage. Yes, we had a whole entire Geek Stage where we had workshops and speakers and had incredible conversations. And Theology Beer Camp last year was called the God Pods Strike Back. So you kind of see where this is going. And so this year, the theme is the return of the God Pods. And so if you head over to Eventbrite and follow God Pods 2024, or hop over to Instagram, follow it there. And if you enter promo code Geekshire, you see what we did there? Yeah. Wilbo Baggins approves. If you enter Geekshire, all caps, no spaces, you'll get $25 off your ticket price. Geekshire, all caps, no spaces, Geekshire. Yeah, say it with me, Geekshire. Enter that. You get money off your ticket and you can join us and hang out and drink beer and have great food. And even if you don't drink beer, you can have incredible food and beverages and conversations with your favorite host here at Systematic Geekology. The Geek Stage is growing. I'm proud of that. And we thank Tripp for this opportunity. We we hope to see you at Theology Beer Camp, The Return of the God Pods, 2024.